along with our church in our congregation's guide for daily Bible reading. I've been doing it every year, and it's a blessing. I encourage you to stay with it. And if you have been staying with it, then today in Morning Manna, you have been reading from 1 Samuel 15 and 16. And tonight, as I sometimes do, I'm going to be preaching my message to you from your morning reading, in this case, from 1 Samuel chapter 16. So I'm going to ask, I know it's a lot to ask, but it's God's word. So please stand, please everyone standing that can stand, and let's read from verses 14 through 23 responsively, 1 Samuel chapter 16 responsively, 14 through 23. I'll begin. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is cunning, a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Our Father, we pray that you bless these inspired words and the message to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, let me tell you that King Saul had repeatedly disobeyed the commandments of the Lord through the prophet Samuel. And so the Lord had to remove him from being king, and he removed, therefore, the power of the Holy Spirit upon him that enabled him to do his kingly work. And then after that, Samuel was commanded to anoint a teenage boy, I don't know, 17, 18 years old or so, with oil, and the Holy Spirit endowment of the Lord came upon David to enable him to be king of Israel. And that endowment of power passed from Saul and settled permanently upon David to be the king. But because Saul wouldn't resign his position as king in obedience to God, the Lord allowed an evil spirit, a fallen angel of Satan, to actually torment Saul. And Saul wanted relief from that mental torment. So his servants told him, yeah, this is an evil spirit. And they said, you need to find a man. Saul said, you help me find a man that's a skillful musician. He could play music, and this will help get rid of the evil spirit and heal my torment, my mental torment. Interesting. One of Saul's servants recommended a young man from Bethlehem who was a good-looking teen. He was the son of Jesse, young, handsome, and could really play well in godly music. So Saul sent for this young man, David, and he came and was hired as his musician and his armor bearer. And David greatly loved King Saul. Now, my message to you tonight from this passage of Scripture is called Ungodly Music. Ungodly Music. And let me first make this first point of my message. There is a godly and an ungodly kind of music. Let me say that again. There is a godly and an ungodly kind of music. Notice verse 23 again. It says, "And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well." And, no, don't miss this, and what? "The evil spirit departed from him." Now, why did the evil spirit depart from Saul? Because he was uncomfortable with the music that David played. Now, I'm not talking about the words. I'm not talking about ungodly words. I'm talking about the ungodly music that people play and the godly music that David played that made the evil spirit uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but we got all kinds of evil spirits in America. We got them on our college campuses. We got them in our politicians. We have them in spiritual leaders behind pulpits. We have devilish oppression and devilish possession, my friends. And if any time we needed the help of the right kind of music, it is tonight on Wednesday night in this May 2024. And so it makes the evil spirits depart. Now, what does the scripture teach you? Some music makes the evil spirits uncomfortable. But on the other hand, if you take the other side of that, is there not music that makes evil spirits comfortable? Is there then not evil spirits that encourage evil spirits and bring them in? I say absolutely, and that is what's going on. As I preach, I'll bring that proof of that. I want to say tonight that Plato, the well-known Greek philosopher, said in his book called The Republic, the introduction of a new kind of music should be shunned as imperiling the whole state, end quote. In fact, Plato, the philosopher, even begged his nation's legislature to ban all music with an effeminate and immoral character because he said it will destroy our nation. He was not even a saved man, but he recognized that. A moral man, but not a saved man. Our church, before we took the old-time religion and fundamental standards, we had a problem with this. We, way back in 1985, repented and got rid of the stuff that was encouraging evil spirits and the influence of evil spirits in our church. I think of a deacon, Mike Gleason was his name. He was a song leader and a music leader, and he was a deacon. In fact, when I came to interview in 1978 to be the pastor of this church, he was one of the deacons that interviewed me for coming back as pastor. And the time I left and went to Florida, he came in and became a deacon. Now, he was not doing that when I took the church, but sadly, he started doing that. He became very prominent in the music place. You know, they say when Satan fell, he fell into the choir loft. Amen. And he was prominent in that. And he had a Bible study on music. And he taught that Bible study. I should have never let him teach it. But he taught that Bible study on music. And he went through all these scriptures and twisted them and wrested them and came up with a teaching, now don't miss this, that all music is amoral. Not immoral, amoral. You know what ah means? No. No moral value to it. So basically what he came up with, that aside from lyrics, no matter what the music is, it has no moral value. It does not have any, remember that, Joel? has no moral value. That's right out of hell, Joe. And I saw it at the time. I saw he was going down the wrong road. I should have never let him start down the road. My fault. Young pastor messed up. But anyway, he taught that. And what he did by teaching that, I had a guy that he used to work with who was an evangelist. He used to travel with him. He said, oh yeah, I had problems with him too. And the guy that was the evangelist that he traveled with was a guy that was in a rock band. He got saved out of the rock band and his life changed drastically. And he said, this guy, you know, watch out for him. You know, I think what he did was he wanted to take the world with him and dress it up. And he was a graduate of Baptist Bible and had knowledge, and so people followed that teaching. It was not good. By the way, let me say it all went downhill after I abandoned the King James Bible in the early 1980s, and then all this stuff came with it. So this Bible is important, let me tell you. When I got back to the King James Bible, God started blessing. Amen. And David Thoreau, the early American intellectual who lived between 1817 and 1862, Walden, Massachusetts, he made this statement. Music may be intoxicating. It has helped cause the destruction of Greek and Roman empires. And it will sooner or later destroy America and England. What a prescient statement. I don't even know if this man was a saved man. But do you realize what he said has come true? What he said has come true. The prophet Ezekiel spoke about a former anointed cherub, a high-ranking angelic being, in fact, the highest that guarded the throne of God Almighty. In Ezekiel 28:13, he said this about the one created as Lucifer, light bearer. He said, thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou was created. I submit to you the greatest musician, the chief of all the angelic choir, the one that was responsible for heaven's music, was none other than Lucifer. And he had pipes even within him. You know, you hear people sing and they say, man, you got pipes. He had pipes within him. He was the wonderful musician of heaven. God loved music. God made music. He made it to worship him. He made it to glorify him. He made it to lift him up. And Lucifer did that. But alas, Lucifer wanted to be worshipped himself. Fell into pride. Rebelled against God. And took his music with him. And took it to earth. And now we see what has happened with music as Satan has had his heyday as a rebel. And he has given people the mission, Jesse, to be Pied Pipers. As was written by Dennis Corll, the Pied Piper of what? Rock and roll. And to lead them away into the ungodly music. To destroy our nation. To destroy our churches. To destroy our children. To destroy our teenagers. Frank Zappa was one of the early fathers of rock and roll. He was a leader of a group called the Mothers of Invention. I remember him. My teenage years were in the 1960s. And that's when Frank Zappa was well known. He made the statement simply this, and it's true. He said, Frank Zappa said that rock music is sex. The big beat encourages fornication. That's just a kind of loose quote of what he said, but that's basically it. Rock music is sex. Alan Freed, the DJ from Cleveland, Ohio, back in the 1950s, he pushed rock music in his DJ radio, and he said, yeah, rock and roll is a slang term coined in the ghettos. Rock and roll to describe fornication of the back seat with American teenagers in cars that they had when they should have been on a shorter chain. Amen. He didn't say that. I'm saying that. And I'm saying when the new rock music came into America in the 1950s and more of it in the 1960s, it has led our culture, listen to me now, to be sexualized away from God. So that now in 2024, our young people think that living together in fornication is normal. They don't even seem to have a clue. It's in our entertainment, in our culture. Oh, that's just great. We're monogamous fornicators. That's what I say about them. But, oh, well, we're just, that's just normal. And then maybe we'll get married and we'll get down and say, would you marry me as she's laying in bed? God help us. But it was through music, ungodly music, that Satan led this culture into this abyss in which we find ourselves. I remember in 1969, I was up in Clark Summit going to school. I was asked to go down with a friend of mine to the Philadelphia area. And I went down to a church there. Pastor Raymond Rain had that church in, I believe, Sellersville, somewhere in that area. And we were in that Baptist church. I remember going in. I was supposed to speak to a youth group. And I remember there was a young man there, long-haired, hippie-like guy, 69, and he knew I was going to preach, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he said, he said, we got the pipes, man. We got the pipes. No, he didn't say that. He said, we got the harps, man. We got the harps. And you know what he was saying? We got the music. We got the music, and we're going to influence this culture. Your preaching's not going to do any good. And you know what? He was right. God help us. We need a revival. Because Elvis the Pelvis came in, and all these rock guys came in, and they led this culture away. Girls screaming and passing out and giving away their virginity and just being immoral. And God help us, look where the culture is today. We're in a sick place. It was all ungodly music. I said it was all ungodly music, and the great rebel Satan using it, knowing, used the harps. The one that worshiped God, that had godly music, now getting people to use ungodly music. I'm saying that rock music not only leads to fornication, but leads the country into sexual confusion. In Revelation chapter 9 and verse 8, the Bible says that the devils that come out of the bottomless pit had hair as the hair of women. Do you notice that? Is it any wonder that in my day, Andy, you know about this, Joe, you know about this, in the 1960s, we had these guys as the, you know, who were the first ones to bring it in, the mop tops. Jack Hiles looked at the mop tops in a picture in a house he was visiting. He said, oh, those, they're cute girls for your guys. And the lady said, oh, no, they're that. He said, no, I understand, they're girls, and they're cute girls for your guys. And guys started all wearing the mop tops. I even look at my senior picture. It's like with the hair down like this a little bit. I look better with height on my hair. Too much fat cheeks and the hair coming down. Doesn't look good. But I'm just saying to you, see, the devil got people through music to get away from God. And the hairstyles reflected. What does the Bible say about long hair? It's rebellion. 1 Corinthians 11. If you've got long hair, come down, you're a rebel. I don't know if anybody does tonight, but they need a haircut. And that was happening there. And music helped to bring that style in, especially for a time in that time. My friend, Peter Riccardi, who's an evangelist, he... years before Kiss dressed up with lipstick, makeup, long hair, ladies' garb, years before Kiss did that, he dressed up like that. his music, and his music was ready to hit big time, and God did something to stop him and get him out of it, or he would have hit probably big time back in that day. But I'm just trying to say to you, friends, that this is of Satan to bring in gender confusion. It's time we get away from the ungodly rock music crowd. It's time that we have godly music, the right hair, the right dress, that we get back to the old time paths and get away from this rebellion against God. But not only does Satan lead you into that and into homosexuality and fornication, but rock music has led the nation to be seduced by drugs. In fact, the prophet John in the book of Revelation says in the last days that the whole world would be seduced by drugs. And it says in Revelation 9:21, neither repented they of their murders, that's a lot of it is abortions, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication. You know what the Greek word for sorcery is translated into our English Bible? Pharmakia. And you know what pharmakia stands for? Drugs. And drugs go along with rock music and also with demonic activity, as Peter Accardi and other rock musicians can testify. And through the drugs, you know, drugs are the sacraments of the rock music crowd. Drugs, I said, are the sacraments of the rock. It brings in the evil spirits, and there's a lot of it. We had a young lady at the beginning of our church, and she had a friend, and they drove around in a Volkswagen. They gave it a name, and they got saved, and they wanted to be part of our church. They were students at Baptist Bible. They came down with us. They drove a VW van, and they had the old hippie stuff on it. You know, I remember that van. I forgot the name of the van, but they named it, and they were very much into, especially this girl named Linda, was very much into the sexual immorality, the free love, free sex, drugs, rock and roll. That was the 60s. I remember it well. And she came out of that, And man, I'm telling you, drugs wreck people. They wreck their body. You can get saved, but if you cut your arm off before you get saved, it won't grow back on. There are consequences to this stuff. And to go down that road is not a good road, and it's the devil's track. And it brings in devil activity. And I remember this girl, she had devilish, I'm not going to say possession because she was saved, but how do I say it? Oppression. And I remember my wife and I, you remember this, Kathy, Linda, what we call her apartment? The weeping walls. The weeping walls. I'd hear up there, tormented, just like Saul. Evil spirit in her life. And a hangover from sorcery. That comes with rock music, the wrong kind of music. That didn't start in this country till the 1950s, my friends. I lived through this. I know what I'm talking about. Now, let me tell you, many evangelical preachers have let the modern Bibles since 1886, during this Laodicean era that we're now living in, and they've left the King James. So these same preachers, now listen to me, they've encouraged in their churches to go with these modern translations, even though they're based on the faulty text that Westcott and Hort introduced in England and America. I've studied this out. I'm convinced that it's not the right Bible. It's the wrong. It's the Alexandria, Egypt Bible rather than the Syrian Bible in Antioch. And a lot of people that are clouded in the cabasis, I'm talking about preachers now, have led their congregations astray. They'll pay for it sooner or later. And I'm just saying to you that I fell into it in our church in the early 1980s. And with that, I allowed a group to come in called the New Covenant Band. How many have heard of the New Covenant Band? And the New Covenant Band was led in by none other than our music director, Mike Gleason, who was a deacon in the church. And he got some people outside of our church. They got into that band. And that band had a performance that I allowed in the church. I should have never done it. My sin, my fault. And I'm telling you, it sexualized these people. It was not good. You remember the creation concerts, and you and Harold went to them, and remember the ungodly dress of the women in those concerts, and it was not good, and that was very popular back then. And I remember that New Covenant Band, and it was not a good thing. I remember the praise music in church. I remember a lady named Ruth, who used to sing special music along with some others under Mike Gleason. And I was sitting here getting ready to preach, and after she was done singing, I felt like somebody punched me right in the gut. Right in the gut. And it was not helpful to the preaching of the word. Let me tell you something. Preachers that have let this in are what Jack Hiles used to say. They're pussyfooting, soft-soaping, ear-tickling, back-scratching, nickel-nipping, pink tea and lemonade preachers. They're not worth a toot. I'm thinking of Nebuchadnezzar and Vladimir Lenin, the great communist leader. And the Bible says in the last days, the empire of the beast will be communist and one world globalist. And Nebuchadnezzar tried to have such a globalist paradise. In Daniel chapter 3, what did he use to get everybody together? What did he use to get everybody to worship the image of the golden image? What did he use, friend? He used music. Oh, it's a powerful force. Satan knows it. And he uses it. It moves people, man. It moves their emotion. It can move a country. But I'll tell you, will it stand up at the light and the heat of the judgment seat of the fire of Jesus Christ? I'm thinking of a science project that was done many years ago by teenagers in Frankfort, Illinois. Yeah, and they grew petunias. And they did an experiment. They played classical music in front of the petunias. And then they would turn on rock music in front of some petunias. And the petunias where they played, Jesse, classical music, they would bend toward, the flowers would bend toward the music. When they played the rock music, guess what happened? They bent away from the music. Now, what you're saying is what happened when they grew green beans. They grew green beans, and when they played the rock music for the green beans, they shriveled up and they died. And I can testify, when we had Christian, quote, rock, which is a lie, in this church, the fruit shriveled up and died. Oh, we had numbers. We had excitement. We had money. I had popularity. I could get more popularity in the world. Who needs it in the church? I'm not for that hang popularity. Music is not amoral. It is either immoral or moral and godly. It is in its effect good or bad. And I'm not talking about the words. I'm talking about the music. The stop anapestic beat of rock music has come in and Satan has used it. I'm saying that Christian words to the world's music does not sanctify it. Mike Gleason, or whoever else you are that might think it. You and I stand opposed on that subject. And I'm saying that this generation needs to wake up and get right with God. When it comes to your music, and you came out of the 60s or 70s or 80s, you need to get right with God and get your music sanctified. Now, there is good patriotic music you can listen to. There's good love story music that you can listen to. There is good wedding music between a man and a woman. But it's moral or immoral. And I'm saying that you say, oh, I got Christian rock. That's what my New Covenant band people said. Back in that day, they said, oh, we're going to play our rock music. And then at halftime, when we take a break and the crowds are gathered, you know, the young people are going to come up to us. And they're going to say, man, we want to talk to you. And they say, we're going to tell them about Jesus. We're going to lead them to Jesus. Well, it didn't work. Stryper came here and did that, and the women were listening to Stryper play, and while they were playing, they were taking their panties off and throwing them on stage. That doesn't sound like a place to tell them about Jesus. It's about as stupid to put Christian words to rock music as it is to take a fifth of a bottle of Jim Beam liquor, Brother Jose, and put a gospel track on it and hand it to somebody for one of our big days and say, here, drink this and read the track. That's the same mentality. 1 Samuel 16:23, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. That's verse 21. Verse 23, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Would you notice the positive effects of good godly music? Do you know what good godly music does? Do you know what it does? It touches your heart. To soften it, to get ready for preaching. You know what it does? It drives away the influence of Satan before preaching. As I said, the music we had in church, it did just the opposite. I had to overcome it to preach. And I believe these preachers that have the wrong Bible and the right God, the right God and the wrong music, they have to overcome all that. And it's not the way to go, friends. David had the ark, but he put it in an ox cart, and God rebuked him for it. That's what people are doing today. People worship God in Israel. Instead of going to the temple, they went to high places. That wasn't God's way. These rock concerts with Christian words, that's what they are, friends. There are so many high places. Oh, they're worshiping God. They love God. I'm not denying that. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying they are misguided. And you're not going to get that kind of guidance here. I'm going to tell you the truth. If I have 10 people or 10,000. I'm saying to you, ungodly music, on the contrary, panders to your old nature. And it helps to harden your heart to God's word. Miss Angela, working with our music here, thank God it helps prepare our hearts. Thank God for music that when I call her or text her, say, I'm preaching on this, we get something that goes along to prepare your heart in special music. Brother Z, when he leads singing, he picks music. If I ask him, I'm preaching on this, give something that goes along for the congregational, he does it. Thank God for that. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Psalms are just that, psalms set to music. I invite writers to do that. We've had people do that in the past. Hymns are about Him. They praise God. Spiritual songs are about your testimony and things that relate to that. I'm saying, number one, there's a godly and an ungodly kind of music. 1 Samuel 16:23. I'm saying, in conclusion, there's something you should do about your music. Let me just give it to you real quick. Number one, teens, and some of you adults should clean out the leaven of your ungodly music from your lives altogether. Say, what are you talking about? Don't listen to him on the radio at all. When I was 19 and evangelist preached, I gave up my rock music. Remove them from your computers and your cell phones. By the way, parents, do what the Zukowskis do, and when kids are listening to music or anything in the home, make them take off those little earplugs. Get rid of those things so you can hear what they're listening to. Break, burn, and throw away any old CDs you have. That's number one. Number two, parents, don't allow any ungodly music in your homes or the lives of your kids. I like what Zukowskis do with their kids. They don't allow them to have cell phones. Luke is going away to the camp in Commonwealth, and they said you got to have a cell phone to call. They're loaning him a cell phone to make those calls, but they don't give him a cell phone on their own. Parents, don't allow any ungodly music in your homes or in the lives of your kids. Number three, and don't take it for granted. Number three, don't allow Christian words along with ungodly rap or rock music. Don't allow Christian words along with ungodly rap or rock music. Number four, get your children in a church like this one with a youth program like this one. I'm thinking of somebody that was in our church and had a young person. And that young person, I tried to encourage this person, get that young person in our youth program. Our youth program is just not once a week youth meeting. It's a whole program. And get that person locked into the youth program. You can't do everything, parent, but get them into something that will go along with you. And our youth program does that. And that will help them get under the influence of teaching and conferences of people that have the right kind of music. And they can see that. And it can reinforce what you've been teaching in your home. This lady did not do that, and her son went deeply off the beam and hurt her family. Not only that, but number five, and lastly, not only take away the bad music in your life, but replace it with the good and godly music. You know, if you just take away the bad music and say, good, I got rid of it, you know you need music. People love music. You've got to replace it. You say, well, I don't really get into that kind of music, the good music. Well, hey, I acquired the taste for Beats, amen. You acquire the taste. I chose a long time ago who I'm going to allow to influence me. And I decided, music has a head. There's the kind of wishy-washy evangelifish music that compromises with the world. There's the right-wing fundamental music and turn me to the right. And there is the left-wing garbage. I'm going to choose who's going to influence me. By the way, there's a crossover music. I'm thinking of a guy came to me and he said, Pastor, I listen to music and it's not bad or good. It's like on the fence. And he said, I start listening to it, and he said, it's not long. I go from that music into the bad stuff. And one day I was preaching. He said, man, I've been into this, but I'm already into the bad stuff. And I said, well, you need to give it up. And he goes, okay, I'll give you. And he gave me all his CDs. And I had to go through that. And I went through the most raunchy, head-banging junk you've ever heard in your life. And what did I do? I smashed it and put it in the trash. Burn it! Throw it away! Put it in the trash! And he did. But you know, weeds tend to grow back. Just like Samson's hair grew back. In a good way. You need to get rid of the bad stuff. And get rid of it. and destroy the garbage. There is a godly and ungodly music, and there is something you need to do about your music. Let's pray together tonight. We've gone a little over. Let's pray together.